You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Competitors' prices, even if you find it online.
What about this tablet?
Price match guarantee.
And the smartphone?
Yep.
What about these ink cartridges? My chances of winning the lottery and toner.
Guaranteed, no way guaranteed, guaranteed.
Make on budget happen, make best prices happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at Staples, save up to $220 on select HP laptops powered by Intel.
Offer ends 2/14/15 in-store only while supplies last. Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See store or staples.com for details.
An FCC commissioner is warning the public about new regulations endorsed by the Obama administration. The story from USA Radio's senior correspondent, Jason Wirt.
The Federal Communications Commission is scheduling a vote on new rules that would allow them to regulate the Internet like a public utility. However, Commissioner Ajit Pai is loudly warning the public these proposed regulations are going to cause a problem where none exists. The commissioner explained his position to USA Radio News.
Nowhere in this 332-page document does the FCC ever identify any kind of systemic harm in the Internet ecosystem. There is no paid prioritization now. There's no throttling. There's no blocking. There is none of the sort of nefarious gatekeeper behavior.
Commissioner Pai added when he felt regulation should be created.
Regulation should address a systemic problem that we can document. And if there are no systemic problems, then we should look in the future on a case-by-case basis and try to figure out ways to address discrete problems.
The FCC is scheduled to vote on the new regulations by the end of the month. I'm Jason Wirt.
The FBI says it's conducting an investigation of the killing of three young Muslims allegedly slain by a neighbor in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Craig Stephen Hicks says the killings were over a parking dispute. But investigators are looking into whether religious or ethnic hatred motivated Hicks. He claims he is a gun-toting atheist. For more news, go to usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Pat Smits, and we'll be back with the sports guys, or with the sports guys, just momentarily. But I wanted to give you some of the weather and the weather forecast for the weekend. Today, if you've been outside, although it's cold, I know people are complaining, but it was a beautiful sunny day. I think it was up around 21 degrees. Tonight, we're going to have increasing clouds, and then tomorrow, there's an 80% chance of heavy snow. The temperature is going to be around 32 degrees, but we're still expecting snow, not rain. And that should start about or mainly after 1 p.m. And it could be windy at times, so that's one of the things we have to watch for both on Saturday and Sunday is a wind warning that there could be some fairly heavy winds. And so that's something to look for. And then the wind gusts could be up to 26 miles an hour. And the, as I said, precipitation about a heavy snow, 80%, going into Saturday night, lows down around 9 degrees. And then in Sunday, about a 20% chance of snow, but then a lot of blowing. If it's snowing on Sunday, there'll be a lot of blowing. Nice day. Expect a nice sunny day for President's Day on Monday, but the temperature will only be about 16 degrees. But that should still be a nice, bright, sunny day. And again, next snow we can expect is probably about a 40% chance on Tuesday. So in any event, right now we're here with the sports guys, and hopefully everybody will be joining us. But welcome, Bill. It's Pat Smits and Bill Wolfson, two of your four sports guys, and hopefully the other two will wander in.
Well, good after Flemington. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere is right here. Huntington County Chamber of Commerce, Internet Radio. I'm Bill Wolfson here with Packer Pat Smith, back from her peregrinations to Arizona in the time of the Super Bowl. And, Pat, I have to ask, what's it like being in Super Bowl City at the time of the Super Bowl? We had that experience last year in New Jersey. But what's it like to be in Glendale, Arizona, Phoenix, when the Super Bowl's going on?
Well, I have to tell you, Bill, you know, we got to Phoenix. Unfortunately, our team didn't. And most of it we ignored. We certainly got down there, saw some of the festivities. But any Packer fan, you know, was wearing that black armband. And, you know, it was actually hard to even watch the game. And beautiful Arizona weather. You know, we were able to get our airline tickets. We were able to get a car. We were able to get everything arranged. Only problem is the disaster that befell our poor team in the playoffs against Seattle.
Well, that's too bad. I enjoyed the Super Bowl this year, although I would have rather have seen Green Bay. I think Green Bay could have actually hung in there and defeated the New England Patriots. I don't think the Packers would have given up all those points in the last 4 minutes of the game. I just thought that the Seattle, known for their defense all those weeks and weeks and weeks over 2 years, suddenly just can't seem to get it done. And that interception broke my heart, because I don't like the New England Patriots.
Well, I didn't either. And, of course, I don't know if Pete Carroll will ever live down that call. I mean, why in the world, when you're down where they were, why in the world would you take the risk of throwing for a touchdown rather than, you know, running when you have such good, you know, people to take it in? I mean, that made no sense. I mean, I don't know if anybody... and even if he had made the touchdown, you know, I suppose then people would have ignored it, said, oh, what a brilliant call. But, you know, they had, you know, two more shots.
You know what I think? I think that Carroll saw something and saw that the New England defense was still in their run defense and gambled and took a chance. And, you know, sometimes...
Yeah, but that's not the kind of gamble.
And the other times the alligator gets you.
Yeah, but that's not the kind of gamble you take. I mean, we all sat there saying, what in the world is he doing? Even before we saw the interception, it was like, that was one of the stupidest play calls that I have seen under the circumstances. I mean, if you had no shot at running it in, maybe. But, you know, they have great players, you know.
No kidding. And you know something else too, Pat? The Seattle offensive line was really opening some holes. And when you only have to get 3 feet, because the ball was on the one, and all you have to do is get the nose of the ball in the end zone, so maybe you don't even have to get 3 feet, I gotta believe a plunge off tackle or off guard or even a quarterback sneak might have done.
Well, I was going to say exactly that. And you know, the quarterback sneak, the best of all times was the Ice Bowl, where you know, anybody who knows anything about football remembers that you know, Bart Starr wanted to you know, take it in, and as I recall, Lombardi said, you know, something like, do it and let's get the hell out of here.
It's too cold.
Because that was such a, you know, That was when they were playing on literally an ice skating rink, and it was the coldest game that has ever been played, I think, in Green Bay. But you know, again, that was, you know, there were options. I mean, at least if there was a quarterback sneak, and if he hadn't made it, he would have held on to the ball, we would hope. But, you know, throwing a ball is always risky.
Oh, yeah, and especially down there when you're in the red zone, or you're really not even in the red zone, you're on the one that's as compact as it can possibly be for a pass. You've got an awful lot of targets to deal with. And there's one problem after another when you have that pass problem. I don't really understand why he did what he did. Yeah.
I don't think anybody understands. I mean, no. You know, it was like the Packers, and I don't even want to talk about that Seahawk playoff game, but how in the world they missed on that onside kick, and you know, that was another tragedy. So there were a couple, you know, bad calls, but I mean, the call from Carroll, you know, I think that will probably go down as one of the top 10. Bloopers or bad calls of all time.
I was amazed that the onside kick worked, because the guy who grabbed it after it bounced off his helmet had been told specifically, don't touch the ball. Let it go behind you and don't let it hit you, because that's really what was designed. But it was such an exciting end. I mean, it didn't come out the way I wanted, but it was still fun. I love it when the outcome's in doubt to the last set play.
Well, I mean, obviously we like something like the Cowboy game when there was no doubt. But it's going to be interesting next year to see what Butler does, in light of the fact that, as I recall, he had not been playing at all, had he, until that final game. And then for him, first of all, that crazy you know, catch that was caught, and he was involved in that. But then for him to come back and intercept the last time, which won the game. I mean, it wasn't. I don't think it was his fault that he didn't successfully not block or catch or whatever with that ball that he didn't. And who was it that made that terrific catch? I'm trying to remember. I don't, for some reason, I can't remember who it was right now. Remember the play I'm talking about?
I know exactly
where they bobbled the play.
Yeah,
and
it was down a sideline. It was a long, long bomb, and he hauled the ball in right around the 20.
Well, but then he, you know, the way it was bobbled.
It was bobbled a couple of times, but he hung on to it.
Well, but it was amazing, and I didn't know that the person covering him was Butler until after Butler intercepted that final.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see.
He went from being the GOAT to being the hero.
Well, I don't think you could really say he was a GOAT on that play. I mean, that was a really tough play to do anything with, that first one. But it'll be interesting to see how well he does next year, in light of the fact that, you know, this is his, hopefully it's not his 15-minute claim to fame, but he certainly was amazing when he was able to catch that ball. Although, you know, frankly, it was thrown into, you know,
coverage.
I mean, it really was. I mean, that ball was covered. It was just a foolish throw and foolish play. And, you know, I certainly didn't want the Patriots to win that game, but it was some vindication for the Packers. And and then the other vindication, of course, is that Aaron Rodgers was awarded the MVP, and I was really pleased to see that.
Well, you know, that's no surprise to me. I think Rodgers was probably the best and most valuable player in the league all year. The Packers really rise and fall with him, and he's going to be hopefully providing some very exciting football for years and years. Meanwhile, I understand the sweater bought at Goodwill turned out to be owned by Vince Lombardi, and someone's going to try to auction it off for $20,000.
Now, what is this?
I just heard this the other day, and it's on the Green Bay Packer website now. The Packers, somebody bought a sweater at Goodwill, and it turned out to be Vince Lombardi's Fordham University sweater.
Oh, my heavens.
Isn't that interesting?
And it was bought at Goodwill in Green Bay?
I don't know. Huh. I haven't figured that out. But moving right along, Pat.
Well, moving right along, since
we're talking Packers, what's the story with Mike McCarthy giving up play calling?
You know what? I'm really very surprised at that, because he's done that for so long and really has been very successful. So we'll have to wait and see. But right now, the big buzz is that there's going to be a romantic comedy called The 60-Yard Line, set in a house near Lambeau. Filming is tentatively scheduled to begin in June. And, you know, we don't know yet who the cast is, but obviously among the wish list for cast members would be Aaron Rodgers and his girlfriend, Olivia Munn. And, of course, anybody else is talking about Justin Timberlake. But if things go according to the wish list for the 60-Yard Line movie, it's going to be a movie, and it will be filming in Green Bay this summer. And it will include scenes featuring local Green Bay Packer fans and John Kuhn, who, if you ever listen and are watching games, whenever he does anything, there is a universally everybody says Kuhn. And you think the first time you hear it that they're booing, but in fact that's the way they acknowledge any play that John is involved in. So that's the what's happening apparently in Green Bay this summer, along with the fact that unless it changes, Brett Favre is supposed to have his number retired.
Oh, it was the Packer Hall of Fame.
And his number retired.
Number four.
And that was supposed to be done earlier, but Bart Starr was ill, and they apparently Favre didn't want to try to do it without Starr being there, so they delayed it until this summer, and hoping that he'll have a good reception. But any event, this whole thing about the 60-yard line is going to, hopefully it will be a decent movie, but it's tentatively scheduled to begin in June. And fullback,
and this is like a reality TV series?
No, it's a film.
It's a film.
Movie. And apparently, Kuhn and former offensive tackle Trauscher have already signed on. And, of course, getting Rodgers would be a little more work, but there's a part waiting with his name on it. And, they actually wrote a scene for him not to play himself, apparently. But it's supposed to be a funny scene, and the film was inspired by the Ashwaubenon.
Oh, the Indian tribe or Native American tribe.
Well, actually, there's an Ashwaubenon house. There is a town, Ashwaubenon, and see, I can actually say it.
I'm impressed.
It's at the corner of Stadium Drive and Oneida Street, and of course the tribe there are the Oneidas, and it's the backyard of this house, as other houses, are just a few feet away from Lambeau Field and a few feet away from the parking lot. So it's a setting for a story of how a guy and his favorite sports team comes between him and his girl. And so it's really a sports fan movie. And, of course, any Packer fan will
watch it.
They're
going to be lined up to see this all the way to Appleton.
But you know, of course, because you've been there, that the all the small homes, I mean, there's small ranch homes all around the stadium. And in fact, people make a fair amount of money parking cars on their front lawns during game day. So that's my Packer, latest.
I hear so many of those houses get bought up by people who may or may not have season tickets, but it's a place to watch the game on TV, and relax and eat and drink as much as you can possibly stand, and probably everything in the house is either green or gold, from what I've read. The New York Times actually had a lengthy article about it. I'll have to find it and email it to you if I can.
Well, that would be fun.
But you know, Pat, it's getting to the bottom of the hour, and we owe some people some commercials. So let's hit that money
button. We'll do that, and we'll be back shortly, and hopefully our other guys will have shown up, so you don't have to just put up with the two of us.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel, iron.
In New Jersey,
you're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and
USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. President Obama is in Silicon Valley at a cybersecurity conference in response to recent data breaches and cyber attacks. He is trying to promote better information sharing between policymakers and innovators. Lisa Monaco, assistant to the president for Homeland Security.
The actions we take today and those we fail to take will determine whether cyberspace remains a great national asset or increasingly becomes a strategic liability.
Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, says it's possible to stop hackers.
We believe we can bring about a future that fully embraces both privacy and security.
Despite the ceasefire deal, which is set to start this weekend, a government-held town in eastern Ukraine has been hit by shelling. It is not clear who is responsible for the attack. Russian-backed separatists are reportedly mounting an effort to capture a strategic railway hub. This is USA Radio News.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket. Hit ignition. And then?
And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
Even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Well, the weather, as I said earlier, we can expect a lot of snow this weekend, and the best day of the three-day weekend, if you have the days off, will be Monday. Be careful of that wind, because when there's wind and blowing snow, it can be really dangerous. So we're back, and I guess it's only going to be Bill Wolfson and Pat Smits today.
Well, and I guess Pat, our listening audience, is just plain stuck with us. What do you think about
well,
that?
Well, I
folks?
Guess so. And maybe we should start talking about some other sports, although
I'm ready to rock and roll.
Well, you
that,
probably
Pat.
Are. I, of course, am not. And one of the things that we now have to start talking about is contracts. And, now that
right.
the football season is over, right. Who's going to get renewed and who's not?
Well, I know Eli Manning has 1 year to go on his last contract extension. You have to wonder whether the Giants are going to sign him up now or sign him up right before the season starts. Eli hasn't been what he's been in the past, for I'd say the past 2 years. Not his fault, because I don't think he's got a lot of good guys to throw to. But now he does, and the Giants' new rookie wide receiver, who's really proven himself this year further, I think that Eli Manning is probably going to spend the rest of his career with the Giants. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I can't imagine that he wants to move. I can't imagine that any other team would want to pay him what they'd have to pay him, although I'm sure there might be someone out there that would.
That's true. It's always tough. And the other thing, too, is you wonder, to give the Giants some cap space, do you think he might take less money so they could go out and hire some people to help him out on the offensive line or as running backs?
You know, I think that's really tough for any quarterback. I mean, other players on the team do, and there have been many examples. But I don't know. I think for a quarterback to do that, in fact, for the team to even try to negotiate a lower salary, seems to me that it would show lack of confidence in him. So I just can't imagine that they would really try to, and certainly it won't be out in the media if they do try to negotiate a lower salary. But one of the things, and I felt, I really felt bad for, the Packers now, Tremont Williams, his contract expires this off season. And so, that final play of overtime when, he was faced against the receiver Jermaine Kearse from the Seattle Seahawks, and Kearse caught that touchdown. I'm sure that it was disheartening for all of us fans, but it must have really been disheartening for Trevon, because his four-year, $33 million contract, that was a contract he signed in 2010, that expires, and talking about whether or not somebody would be coming back, I can't imagine that the Packers would offer him anything close to that. He's 31 years old. I certainly think that, he's been good in the position, and I think he hasn't had all the support that he needed. But in any event, that is going to be one of the real question marks, I think, as far as the Packers going forward.
Well, contracts are always a funny thing, and a lot of players, measure themselves against other players in the locker room by the size of their contracts, the duration, the pay, the things like that. And, after a while, you wonder, with all this money being thrown around in an $11 billion industry, where does it end? I'm all in favor of players making money, but I also want to see a good product on the field, and I want to see good competitive teams.
Well, in fact, the problem, though, was Trevon Williams did do a good job. And, it wasn't that he didn't play a good game. The problem is that Kearse at the end, made a play. And, unfortunately, it was the play that won the game.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think the Packers actually made a number of mistakes in that game. And I think they could have, I think their mistakes cost them, obviously. But, you know, we will see. You know, the question is, you know, how they negotiate with some of these players, whether or not they are able to convince some of them to take less. I'm certain that certain of the Packers that I know that left, especially the ones that went with Oakland, I think that looking back, if they had an opportunity to continue with the Packers at a lower salary, they would have taken it, or, you know, should have taken it. But, you know, you know, what's going to happen? You know, everything's kind of gloom and doom. I mean, if you talk to any Packer fan right now, they're just really down. I mean, everyone was fully expecting that this was the year that we would get back to the Super Bowl. So I don't think anybody can think of much else at this point.
I think the Packers have every reason to be optimistic that they return to the Super Bowl next year, if not this year. Sometimes things just have a way of not working out. And
yeah, but
I think
blowing
they had some bad luck.
Yeah, but blowing a 12-point lead in the last 4 minutes, I mean, you know,
well,
that's...
Look what happened with Seattle against the Patriots. The same thing. That's football. You've got to expect that. And just because you get fried today doesn't mean you're going to get fried tomorrow. Teams sometimes collapse at the end, or they just get beat.
Yep, and I think that's what happened to the Packers. And apparently, they're still, odds makers are still giving them a 7-1 odds to win the Super Bowl in 2016.
I'd take that
bet.
Which,
you know, and they're only behind Seattle, which is 5-1, and New England, 6-1.
I think New England's getting older, and I think this was New England's last hurrah.
I hope so.
They played well. It was an exciting game, and quite honestly, if it weren't for Tom Brady's skill and play calling and his arm and getting a couple of runs, I think Seattle would have come out ahead.
Oh, I think everybody thought Seattle was going to win that game.
One bad call at the goal line, as you pointed out, one problematic onside kick, and all of a sudden they're ahead, and they're back in this game. And, you know, I have to give Russell Wilson credit. Gutsy guy, gutsy last-minute drive. He brought Seattle back with, what, less than a minute to go?
Yep.
80 yards.
Yep. No,
79
it was.
Yards. Couldn't make it 80, but he got 79 yards.
It was. So what else is happening in other sports? I mean, what's happening in hockey these days?
Well, there's tons going on in hockey. It's a real hockey hotbed tonight. We've got maybe not quite a full card, but, you know, the NFL is there to keep us from having to watch the NBA All-Star game this weekend, I think. I don't know. I haven't looked at the New Jersey Criminal Code in a while as far as what to do with really, really serious offenders, but I don't think they make them watch NBA games anymore. That's cruel and unusual punishment, according to the Supreme Court. You had an interesting card tonight. You have Philadelphia, Columbus, New Jersey playing the Blackhawks in Chicago, Florida at Dallas. Florida's actually a wild card team. San Jose in Arizona, and the Bruins are in Vancouver, which is actually going to be an interesting matchup. Because the Sedin boys are playing well, and the really interesting game this week is to see whether the Maple Leafs can get well, because they've lost 9 in a row at Montreal at the Molson Center. I can't imagine why the Maple Leafs are tanking the way they are. This is a team with the most money in the National Hockey League. It's the most valuable franchise. It's worth billions of dollars. And why they can't put a winning product on the ice is beyond me, Pat. This is one of the strange mysteries in sports. The Leafs haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1967.
Really? And of course, everybody, when I was growing up, I mean, it was...
They were the
hockey,
team.
Hockey, hockey, hockey. It was all Canada.
You bet. It was Frank Mihalovic, Dave Keon, Johnny Bauer, great players, and they were always rivals to Montreal. In fact, as a child, I had that rod hockey game, And one side was Montreal, and the other side was Toronto. You couldn't get Rangers Bruins, and you certainly couldn't get Blackhawks Red Wings when it was the original six. I'm showing my age here.
Well, actually, I remember watching the Chicago Blackhawks on a small black and white TV.
Well, that's interesting, Pat, because you know, when you have when you had the old original six out there, it was in some ways a better product, but more fun. But we've just had an unexplained John Manfreda sighting, and here he is, the one, the only John Manfreda, right here from Annandale. And John, let me ask you, since you weren't here for the big question, Eli Manning, contract extension. This is his last season under his most recent contract extension. Does he get another one going into the 2016 football season?
Well, that's an easy question. Yeah, they don't have much of an alternative, and I think they do want him back. He actually statistically had a very good season this year.
Well, he's finally got someone to throw to, isn't that rookie?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Very good. And, John, what's the weather like out there? Is it getting ready to snow again?
Well, it feels very, very cold. It's headed down into the single digits. Not quite as bad as up in the Boston area. I spoke to my daughter Allison today. They have 5 feet of snow.
Is it over the top of her head?
Just about. She's not that. She's about 5'5", so okay. It's getting close. But,
well, you know, John, I was in Arizona, and all we saw, even on the Weather Channel, was Boston, Boston, Boston.
Sure.
I had a hard time finding out what was happening in the New York area.
Yeah, they've really grabbed the headlines because they've really set records there and had just an extraordinary amount of snow. But they're getting by. They're very resilient. You know, they got good equipment, and the people like to work. My daughter kind of likes working remotely from home. You know, the pajamas, hot chocolate, and marshmallow syndrome. So, we can learn something from that, I guess.
So what did they say about the stadium? I heard that they were filling the stadium with the snow. And a few people were saying, hopefully it won't melt for another year.
I hadn't heard about that.
Well, you know, I was in Quebec City once when they got 3 feet of snow one night on top of getting 6 feet of snow the three nights before. And all they did was get bulldozers and push it into the St. Lawrence.
Yeah.
So I think that's what they do.
Well, but environmentally now, they probably had to have permission because they no longer can
That's Canada.
You know, no, but in the United States, they can no longer just dump it in rivers and in the ocean. And, of course, in the ocean, it's a problem because of the salinity, you know, it depletes the salt, and, you know, so there can be all kinds of repercussions. But in any event, so what's happening in hockey these days,
well, you know,
John?
We've already talked about the Flyers at Columbus. This is going to be the celebration of Scott Hartnell, former Flyer, 1,000th game. The Flyers are playing better. They actually have a shot, even though it's only 3% of getting into the playoffs, to make up for their terrible play in the early part of the season. The Flyers also had Steve Mason go down just when they were getting red hot. And Mason and his 2.3 goals against average is on the injured reserve list now for the next 3 weeks. So that's certainly not going to help. And we're going to be seeing Ray Emery and a young guy they brought up from the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, who's really worth watching. Anthony Stolarz. Anthony Stolarz is playing well for the Phantoms. You can see the Phantoms at the Allentown Arena. I forget exactly what it's called. But it's only about 45 minutes from here, and I've yet to go to that arena. But I do hear it's a great place to watch an American Hockey League game. So I encourage anybody who is down here in Hunterdon County to take the 45-minute ride and just take a look at what minor league hockey looks like and seeing the stars of the future.
Bill, if they want to see minor league hockey, they can just take a jaunt to Newark.
I was going to say,
things are going. Things are going to get better. The farm system is doing well. They're pretty well stocked. I think you will see a competitive team in New Jersey, if not next year, certainly the year after that.
What do you
now,
think
where,
about?
Where does their team? Where does their farm team play?
Albany, the River Rats.
Albany.
Albany, New York. The Albany River Rats. They've got a great jersey and a great logo.
And it's unfortunate because they're often confused with the New York legislature that sits in the same area.
Well, the only difference between the River Rats and so many of New York's finer legislatures is that most of the River Rats haven't been indicted for corruption yet.
But, you know, it's a shame that, you know, it's too bad that the New Jersey Devils, their farm team doesn't play in Allentown, because I'm sure that there'd be a lot more people. You know, one of the things that I noticed when we went to the game, I mean, it is so expensive to take kids. And, you know, that's one of the things that we've noticed with the kids when we're going to Trenton to the ball game or even the Patriots. I mean, you can go and take a family at a reasonable cost.
Right. And that's the case with all professional sports now. But your point is well taken, and I think they've tried to do things like have family nights and group specials, and you know they try to work around that. But you're right. In general, it is an expensive endeavor. In terms of the farm team, I, again, we're lawyers and we're business people, and it's just another indictment in of the state. It's too expensive to do business here. So they have their farm team in Albany, which gave them a sweetheart deal in number. They've been in Albany now about 10, 12 years because Albany really wants them. They want the business. They want to keep the arena happy. And in New Jersey, they're too hell-bent on collecting sales tax and every other tax going on that people say the heck with it. You know, we can get this done elsewhere.
Well, you know, it's like the story of the classic goose killing the golden egg. New Jersey used to be not an expensive place to live, but I know people our age, maybe even older, who are just priced
out
of
here. Oh, I think, Bill, you got to go back 40 or 50 years.
And even
I've been
more
here
than
30,
that.
32 years. I mean, you got to go back 40 or 50, I think, where this was a quote-unquote inexpensive area.
Well, I mean, I remember when we first came to the state in the 70s, my mother came to see the house we bought, and she just couldn't believe what we had paid, and of course the taxes. I mean, you know, one of the things.
And that was then, Pat.
That was then. And now the taxes on that house are at least 10 times as much.
Absolutely.
Well, in fact, they're more than 10 times. I know what they are. They're
more
than 10 times.
Well, taxes are an interesting issue here in New Jersey, but do you know that the state, from the time it was a colony, was always a hotbed of corruption. Lord Carteret.
Is that news?
Did
I mean,
you know
can't
that?
Imagine.
I was
going to
say, what
is that really
they
news?
Couldn't fit them all in Massachusetts,
right.
My home state, so they dumped some of them down here.
Lord Carteret was one of the most corrupt British lords, and they sent him here
to get rid of him.
From London, because he was literally going to have his hands in the king's purse. And he also had some other problems, which we can't mention here on Family Radio, with his style of dress. But that's another story. I was sitting in court the other day in Newark, and I'm looking at this beautiful mural of Lord Carteret stepping ashore in Newark Bay, 1689 or whatever it was. And the man was dressed.
He knew how to travel, right, Bill?
Yeah, he sure knew how to travel. It was good to be the king.
but
the end result was that I think this state's infrastructure from colonial times has been one that's encouraged corruption and graft.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Transportation Trust Fund going back to colonial times was bankrupt.
Well, sure, unfortunately, that's definitely the reputation that New Jersey has throughout the country. And it's unfortunate because there are many great, I mean, I love living in New Jersey. I think
there's so many redeeming factors. You're right, Pat. But here we are on a sports show, and we've kind of drifted into it because it affects our sports teams. Your question, why don't the Devils have a farm team here? Well, it's all tied up in economics.
It is. Remember, the Trenton Titans tried to provide good hockey at
and
a reasonable
did.
Cost.
You and I went to many a good Titans game, Bill.
We went to at least 40 or 50 games at $10 a pop, sitting right behind the goal about 10 rows up.
Now, what happened with that?
They went
just
out of
couldn't
business.
Afford it. And were they a farm team?
They were a farm team originally for the Flyers, then the Devils.
Right. The Devils actually had them for a couple of years.
They called them the Trenton Devils for a while.
Yep, that's right.
And then the Devils didn't want to spend a lot of money on them because it was during the, is it Van Beesbrook? Was that his name? The owner of the Devils? And they didn't spend a lot of money keeping the team in business. They folded.
Yeah, it might have even been before that. I'm not sure, but because I think we're talking about 15 years ago.
10, 15 years ago. Because, in fact, and it was very entertaining
Albany
hockey.
Gave them a better deal so that they would come
Albany
there?
Albany opened them with welcome. Yeah.
Plus, we also had the advantage. The Trenton Titans played in the East Coast Hockey League. You could have a night out, park, have something to eat, something to drink.
We hit a lot of good restaurants, Bill.
Yeah, all for probably $20-30. So
sure.
And it was fun. Plus, they would occasionally bring in an exhibition team like Spartak from Russia.
I remember that night. We had so much fun. Here are these young Russian kids. I remember when they came onto the ice, when they opened the doors, and these Russian kids who looked about like they were about 15, played like they were about 25 years old, but they're looking around. You think they thought they were in the Montreal Forum or Madison Square Garden. I mean, they were looking around. You could tell that they were just terribly impressed with this minor league arena. And boy, did they play well.
I'll tell you, they played like their hair was on fire. They won, didn't they?
They beat the Titans, yeah.
But, you know, it was a real shame because the first 5 years the Titans were there. If they didn't sell out, it was because it was a weeknight.
Yeah.
And you could see a game for $8 if you didn't mind sitting in the upper bowl. And, you know, they made it very fan-friendly. They had somebody coming around, you know, during stoppages of play and to entertain. And they made sure kids had a good time. In fact, one of the more amusing things was John and I went to a game, and there's a law firm that will not be mentioned.
Yes.
But they were they would basically get these long rubber bands, put associates of the firm on a sled, and pull the rubber band all the way back to the goal, and then let it go and see if the guy could
score
his way into the goal. and I always
pretty
said,
innovative.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Embarrassing was probably more the word, but
well, I suspect
we're a dignified show. We'll give him a break, Bill, and say it was funny. Yeah.
Well, we won't refer to that law firm.
But the point is, I know we got off track a little bit, but the point is that economics play a big role, but it's important to have those family-friendly events. I mean, I like going down to Trenton to the ball games. I don't go often, but you see families and everybody's having a good time, and it's a way to teach children sports because, you know, you're not so intent on watching every play. You want to let the kids know what this means. And
well, the great thing about the ballpark in Somerset where the Patriots play, I can remember taking my daughters there. Well, now we're talking maybe 15 years ago, so they would have been in their early teens. And I could stand behind home plate and watch them, because they would always be with friends, would be like five or six girls, and they'd be walking around the park. They wouldn't really be watching the ball game that much.
They were watching the guys.
They were, yeah. and you don't have to worry. I mean, you got to generally keep your eye on things, but you could take your kids there and keep your eye on them without being, right behind them.
I think the same thing about Trenton, the ballpark in Trenton. Easy to get to. And of course,
fan friendly.
Yeah. It's just fun. So
I think the one reason they've survived is because they are a Yankee farm team. They're AA, and they're so close to New York City. They're certainly closer than Scranton, And there are a lot of Yankee fans out there. And, you know, let's say you had Derek Jeter there for a rehab.
Yeah, you get rehab. The big leaguers get down there. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And they were sold out when he was there. They were, you know, they were scalping tickets because everybody wanted to see him play.
Yeah.
By the way, the rumor has it that the first Red Sox-Yankees exhibition game in Tampa, which will happen in about a month, they're already scalping, $15 tickets for $75.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, do you think A-Rod's going on an apology tour?
His farewell apology tour. But the question is whether, I mean, there's a lot of people think they should just write him a check and say goodbye. But, you know, I don't think they'll do that. I think they will look at it. It's a necessary evil. And who knows? You know, middle of the season when the weather's warm, and he may get on a hot streak and win him some games.
That could be. Remember, there's a lot of pop in the bat. Plus, you know, he's taken all those performance-enhancing drugs already. They might. He's been suspended for it. They paid him a lot of money. They might as well see if they get some advantage out of that. I want to go back to my old hobby horse of, you know, I like baseball back when a performance-enhancing drug was bourbon. we all know that Mickey Mantle, Babe Ruth, many, many other ball players had serious issues with the bottle and being in the bottom of it. And I really want to say how much greater these old guys must have been than the new guys today, because I don't know about you, but I've never found alcohol to be performance enhancing.
They were so good they could drink and still play well.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Billy Martin is, I guess, the poster child for that.
Sometime if you talk to my husband, have him give you the Billy Martin story.
I can just imagine.
He has a Billy Martin story that is really...
When I want to be depressed, that's the first thing I'll think of.
Billy Martin, oh my God. One of my childhood heroes, because he played second base, and that was my position. And little did I know that Billy Martin had a colorful life that was hidden from me as a nine-year-old. Even when I would take the Billy Martin story out of the Flemington Raritan Public School Library. And strangely enough, I was in that library about 4 or 5 years ago, and I happened to see the Billy Martin story, and sure, my name was still on the card.
You were the last one to take it out?
Taking the book out, huh? But that is pretty, that must have brought back some memories.
That was pretty funny. I think I was probably the 10th last kid to read that book, and at 63, I probably was in that library. I probably took that book out probably sometime when I was 9 or 10.
Wow.
So, well, Bill, let's play Billy Martin's Jeopardy. What was Billy Martin's real name?
Albert Bellino.
Yeah. His name wasn't Billy. You know what? Do you know where Billy came from?
Bellino was his middle name.
Well, actually, that's one version. I read a book on Billy Martin as well when I was a kid, the really sanitized version.
They were all sanitized then, John.
Yeah, his grandparents, who were Italian immigrants, used to say, because he was a beautiful child.
They called him Bellino.
They called him Bella, which means beautiful in Italian. And I guess it stuck, and all the kids started calling him Billy.
Well, you know, he had an interesting career. He played for the Newark Giants, which were a Yankee farm team for a while. And he also had a real interesting life because in the off season he hunted, fished, all the things that you would expect regular guys to do. And back then, and you know, the press left his private life and his antics alone until he got into trouble in the Copacabana, drinking with Mantle, Ford, Yogi Berra, and a couple of other people, and got into a fist fight because apparently he was a guy with a fiery temper.
Unlike Italians, generally.
Yeah, and they replaced him with whom?
They replaced
Billy
him.
Martin. Billy Martin was traded to the Kansas City Athletics.
Yeah.
And they brought up
a guy named Bobby Richardson.
Exactly, the bizarro.
See,
Billy
Bill
Martin.
Thought he was going to catch me on that, Pat.
No, but John was slick.
Hey, look, listen, they say know your enemy well. And then those of us in Boston, we cursed the Yankees up and down, and we knew who they were.
You know, Bobby Richardson didn't drink anything stronger than milk. He was a devoutly religious man. He was already a deacon or a minister. And he became the baseball coach, I think, at the University of South Carolina. And I think he's still alive, but he was like an example of clean living.
Well, that's almost
an anomaly for the Yankees.
Yeah, I was going to say that's almost an oxymoron when you talk about baseball and
the Bronx Zoo. It was the Bronx Zoo then, even then. When I read the Sparky Lyle novel, I don't know whether it was called a novel or bio. Sparky Lyle always impressed me because somewhere along the line, maybe it was Jim Boughton writing this, or maybe Sparky Lyle wrote this. Sparky Lyle's favorite clubhouse trick was to sit on somebody's birthday cake. And I always said
that's pretty tame compared to some of the other things these guys did.
Oh, I've heard those, some of those stories. But, you know, you see him at Patriot games sometimes, or you would in the past. And he's been to some chamber meetings. And I always wanted to ask him about that, and I never really have the courage.
Well, this is really winding down to...
it's getting more fun.
It's amazing how there is a fine line between sports and business and life in general. And, Bill, you've heard me say many times, I believe that sports in many respects is a microcosm of life.
It is,
and,
indeed.
You know, there's ups, there's downs. You know, you cherish the victories and you endure the bitter defeats and hope for better days to come. But and I know this is a subject for another show at another time, but although there are signs of encouragement with the real estate market and businesses to some extent generally, it's very difficult on small businesses, families, things like that. And to get to the games that we grew up loving so much. Again, I still remember going to Fenway Park when the bleacher seats were 50 cents.
I remember sitting in the grandstand in Yankee Stadium with my dad, and we paid a dollar.
Sure. When you tell that story to kids today, they look at you like, yeah, right, Buster.
Boy, are you old.
Yeah, that or you grew up in the Civil War, you know, era. But
The really cool thing about Yankee Stadium and sitting in the bleachers with my dad was that my father loved railroads, and he was from the Bronx, and he especially loved subways. And one of his great pleasures, for some strange reason, was watching the number 4 train come out of the tunnel from Manhattan and become the Jerome Avenue line. And I remember sitting in the stand in the bleachers. And my father was not a big baseball fan. And I was about 10 years old, and he had brought a friend of mine with him, with us. And we were watching, and my Uncle Jack, and my uncle, my friend, and I are watching the ball game. And my father's watching the subway come out of the tunnel into the 161st Street Station just when I think it was Harmon Killebrew launched a moonshot. That must have missed my dad by about 10 inches because his back was turned to the play, which you never want to do. But, you know, Subway fans are...
Did you catch the ball?
Absolutely not. I was that skinny little 9-year-old with glasses, and although the ball did bounce in my direction and I did try to get it, but somebody else got it.
Bill was thinking about the complaint he was going to draft to sue somebody for damages to his family as a result of an errant baseball.
There you go, John. And, you know, with that, you know, it's after 6 o'clock, Pat.
Well, 5:59, so let's wrap
right
up.
And
Pat, before we go, you haven't been here in a long time, and I never had the opportunity to ask you just, you know, here's a question. I'm not even going to ask you about the NFC Championship game. What I'm going to ask you is, when the big play happened in the Super Bowl and the Butler did it and all that good stuff, how did Green Bay fans react to that?
Well, it was almost